then if you could just say like one very short thing. I don't know. I'm really bad at that, and I always hate it when I have to do it. So it's like kind of what brought you here, but in like 10 words or less, but that's really hard. So whatever you feel like is something that you could just share with folks. And then as we're talking, we are wearing masks all the time. While we're on this floor, we're wearing masks all the time. So just leave that on while you're talking. And then we are gonna go through a little presentation about the COVID-19. As your first thing, you get to hear, because we feel like it's important for everyone to have that information and just really know the same thing so that everybody's on the same page. So with that, whoever wants to get started, which side of the room wants to talk? Sure.
Hello, everyone. My name is Louise. She, her pronouns. What brought me here? I brought myself here. I thought about doing massage for a really long time, and somehow in this time it just like kind of got pushed forth, and I was like, oh, I think I'm ready to do that now.
Awesome. My name's Carol. My pronouns are she and her as well. I am a physical therapist assistant, and I see primarily pelvic rehab. That's the percentage of the highest amount of patients I see is in that, in an outpatient setting for pelvic rehab. And what I am drawn to is the manual work, and so I wanted an opportunity to expand my skills, and it seems the best way to do that.
Awesome, thanks.
Mizuko, they, them. I work with foster youth in Portland, and by chance that retention with East West has allowed me to go to massage school this year.
Great, yeah. Wonderful.
My name is Dakota, my pronouns are he and him. Brought me here. I've been in the workforce for a while now, and I've been looking for something different and hopefully get something that I enjoy doing and get paid better for it. So.
Yeah.
I'm Alia. I have she, her pronouns, and I just really like the idea of like working with people in a more like personal setting and being able to do like something with my hands that helps people.
Oh yeah, I'm Eric. I am with pronoun. What really got to me was I got into a car wreck about, you know, and I had to do a lot of massage and physical therapy and changed my life, so that's why I'm here.
Awesome.
I'm Rhiannon, she, her pronouns, and yeah, kind of similar to Louise. I really was struck by a quarantine that I needed to like start taking my passion seriously and this dream seriously. So it's been a long time coming, but getting into yoga really has made me very curious about the world of massage. So I'm super excited to kind of become a healer in that.
Wonderful.
I'm Benny. I go by he, him. I'm just really excited and anxious to be here, and I'm just into holistic healing, so that's pretty much it.
I'm Tracy. I go by she, her. Three kids. They're all teenagers. And what brought me here is I'm a Reiki master, and so I've been attuned to Reiki in different countries, and the art of healing and energy is just incredible, and so I wanted to take it a step further. I've always felt the pull of being a healer, and so this seems like the most logical next step. And my former career was in high tech, so big change.
Good. I'll know to ask you when I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm Amanda. I go by she, her. I was just always interested in massage, and you know, I found this school and it felt so right. And you know, I like the holistic side of healing, and you know, I got into yoga as well, and it kind of just like boosted everything of like, you know, I wanted to help more for people and you know, inspire them that their bodies don't have to hurt all the time.
Awesome.
Alyssa, she, her pronouns. I wanted to get a massage to help heal people, and I like to do things with my hands. My name's Amber. I identify with she, her pronouns. I was just looking for a career change, and I really love the idea of healing and massage and doing something that doesn't involve medicine necessarily. So.
Can you see your name again? I missed it.
I'm Amber.
Sorry. Amber, thank you.
And my name is Allie. I've been studying Thai massage for the past few years. I fell in love with it. There's something about that platonic intimate touch that is just super necessary in the world, I think. And so I found East West as I was searching for massage schools to sort of round out my knowledge. And this was seemed right in the middle of the anatomy, kinesiology, but also you guys understood that there was an energetic sort of aspect to touch. So I'm really excited to learn about that here and to meet you all.
Thank you all so much. So I, in the Dean of Students role here, I help people with talking about tutoring, talking about support, talking about planning, working with, you know, if a subject's difficult or if there's something going on in life that's kind of not meshing with school, just general support pretty much. And I try really to make sure that I'm here at orientation to meet everybody. Usually we do orientation in a big group, and Erica and I work together and switch back and forth, but because of the requirements of the virus and being considerate about spacing, we're doing it in two rooms. And then we're switching back and forth. So I'll be in and then over in the other room and Erica will be here. I went to college for elementary education. Actually, I started in pre-veterinary program and then I switched to elementary education and I graduated almost in that, but I switched at the very end and did my internship at Head Start instead of in a school. So my degree is in kind of that realm of human development. I worked in Head Start and I worked in social service for a long time in nonprofits, working with children and then with seniors for 10 years. But, you know, budget cuts and politics and all of that stuff, sending letters to people saying your services are cut off, and then 2 weeks later, never mind, they're back, never mind, they're cut off. Emotionally for me, it was just like, what am I doing in this world? Like, I would go home at the end of the day just exhausted and crying. And I really got tired of crying in my car. You know, as I'm restocking the tissues in my car, I'm thinking, this is not what I want my life to be like. I had looked at East West 10 years before, and then life change happened, and I thought, okay, I can't do that. So, you know, 10 years later, I was like, what am I going to do? And then I remembered, oh, right, I saw that awesome school. I'm going to go there. So here we are. I graduated. I worked at a chiropractic office for a little while. I came here to start working, and now I'm teaching here, working, and then I have a private practice of massage outside, in my home, actually. So the reason I did this is because I believe in making connection with people and making a difference in the world, and I found out that if I could do that person to person, it was the best way for me, but this way I actually get to do it in a way where I'm able to really connect with that person, and you know, it's just about them and me. There's no budgets or politics involved, so I really like that, and it means a lot to me. I am also really deeply committed to supporting all of you on your journey here, and that means that maybe we meet in my office and talk, or maybe I see you in a class. It's what really brings joy to me. And we're all coming here at a time where there's a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot going on for each of us in our own lives, trying to figure things out, and what's going to happen next week, I don't know. So, you know, it's like, all right, I'll go to school. And so that's a huge commitment to something in the midst of, I don't know what's going to happen, right? So I really honor all of you for that. And just realize that that involves a lot of, like, roller coasters of emotions. We all worked at home for 3 months, and then we came back here about a month ago when the phase one opened up. Because this is a private trade school that teaches a body work, we are able to be open under the phase one because we do massage. But you'll notice that a lot of parts of the building are closed or kind of quiet. And so we're here you know, and it's different to be out all of a sudden. And the adjustment to that for me was kind of a roller coaster of one day I felt like really excited to see everybody, and the next day I felt really tired and like, what is going on? So be really gentle with yourselves, please, and then be really, give each other some grace, you know, and try to be gentle with each other as we go through, especially this first couple of weeks of like getting used to school. And when you go into your first kinesiology class and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this, right? You can do it, all of you can do it. And it's gonna feel like that at first. So, you know, just wanted to say that out loud. You're welcome in my office. I have very soft tissues. I don't use the school tissues, I bring my own so that you can have those. So like I said, we're gonna do a presentation on the COVID-19. And the reason we're gonna do that is because everybody has heard a million things about this on the news and on this news and that news in the newspaper, on Facebook, on this, on that, right? And so all of that information sometimes is conflicting, or maybe it is what the truth is, or maybe it's like some person's article about what they think they read and what they think it is. And what we wanted was every single person coming here for this term would have had the same information and would know. Can everybody see that? It's warming up, so it'll get brighter, I think, in a second. We can turn off one of the lights, too, if we need to. We wanted to make sure everybody coming to school here had the same information so that everybody knows that everybody else knows, okay? So, let me find my notes, because I have all these other notes on my notes. So, our anatomy and physiology teacher here at the school, one of them is a naturopath, and she has been doing research the whole time. Her name is Jamie Fields. She's been doing research on this ever since the beginning of it, and her husband is a kinesiologist. He also teaches here, and the two of them worked on this PowerPoint to get the information. They made it, and then they updated it like 7 times in 2 weeks, because the information changed 7 times in 2 weeks, right? So this is what it is as of the time that they finished it. At the end of last week was the last update. And it's been updated on your slides, but there's gonna be updates. So we will be letting you know in some fashion if there's something that changes. She went to a training just last week at OHSU on the coagulopathy, which is the blood clotting that they're finding in folks. So that was like recent information. The goal of any virus is to reproduce so it puts its RNA into our cells, and it starts reproducing itself in our body. There are some other viruses similar to this, the SARS and the MERS that you've heard about in the news probably. And the way that this spreads is by respiratory droplets infected with the virus. So that's why we wear the masks, right? To contain those, to keep them close to us so they're not going out into the air. And it also spreads from surface contact. So if something, you know, either droplets get on a surface or droplets get onto you from something and then touch something else. So on every single desk is this hand sanitizer, which is 80% alcohol, so we're also using it as a surface sanitizer. So if your mask is slipping and you're fixing it and touching it, or you're taking it off and on, spray your hands with sanitizer, getting them wet enough that they stay wet while you're rubbing them for the 20 seconds, and sanitize your hands. If you are touching your mask, if you're touching your eyes, if you go out, if you pick up your phone, those are times to sanitize your hands. So really do that. We make it available everywhere. You can also, in the handbook, I don't know if you all got this email to you yet. So this came to you in email. You're also going to get a paper copy of it today. Erica's going to pass it out. The start of class procedure that's in here talks about sanitizing your desk and then putting all your items on your desk. Why do we put all of our items on our desk? Because number one, you know that surface is sanitized, so that is a place to put your stuff where you know that it's sanitized. And number two, so that your stuff isn't on the floor and then somebody else puts their stuff on the floor, and then we don't sanitize the floor. We vacuum the floor with a HEPA filter vacuum, but we're not sanitizing the floor every class. So we want everybody's stuff on the desk. So that's why the sanitizer's there too, so you know that your surface is clean before you put anything down on it, and then as you leave, you're sanitizing it again. So this is the little picture for the droplets moving around, so you can see the different ways, but we already talked about that. So prevention for this, we all have heard some of this. 6 feet distancing, hand washing or sanitizing often, covering our nose and mouth with a face covering, covering our coughs or sneezes, you know, with your elbow, not your hand, because stuff can go through and get on your hand and then you touch the door. And then if you're using a tissue, throw it right in the trash. Using recycled things like handkerchiefs is great, but right now it's not the best idea because you either put it in your pocket, gets all that droplets, or it gets set on a desk or somewhere and then it gets that there. So we're really trying to contain everything as much as we can, so put it right in the trash. Avoiding contact with those who are sick, staying home if you experience any symptoms, and quarantining if you've had contact with someone or if you've been diagnosed. You'll notice that these numbers are really, really old. July 1st is like an eternity ago when it comes to this virus, unfortunately. So, you know, here we are on the 18th and it's totally different, but here were the numbers on the 1st. And even then it was pretty widespread. So it's even more widespread now.
Is that 6.7 positive tests, like, the percent?
6.7% of people are testing positive, but again, they're not giving tests to everyone. They're giving tests to people who, like, are pretty obviously having it. So if, you know, other countries aren't having that percentage. So here in the US, we're getting a higher percentage of positive cases. And right now, I've also heard a news story that they're having a hard time making all the components for the tests. So the US is running short on tests again because the kits aren't able to be put together because we're missing the swab for this or the stick for that or the container for this. So unfortunately, we're having a tough time. The fatality rate, again, as of July 1st, this is old information. People are dying from multiple organ failure, so it's not necessarily just COVID-19 that they're dying from, but it's like respiratory failure, shock, or acute respiratory distress syndrome. So risk factors. There are risks for certain people. The people that have these risk factors are getting a more aggressive version of the virus and they're more likely to have complications from it. So having these risk factors doesn't necessarily mean you're going to catch it, but if you do catch it, it's likely to be more severe. And why do we care about risk factors? It's because the people are 6 times more likely to be hospitalized and 12 times more likely to die from the virus. So folks with risk factors, whether it's someone in our family or some, you know, someone older, really, really need to be trying to stay out of the public as much as possible. The key risk factors, we have that whole big list here. The key ones are really the cardiovascular disease, diabetes, lung diseases, and kidney diseases. So, this is risk of death, the highest risk of dying from the virus are people over 80. The lowest risk of dying is children 9 and younger, but that doesn't mean they're not catching it and it doesn't mean they're not having effects from it. They're seeing a lot of the blood clotting disorders in children and a lot of the different rashes and things coming up for children. So ethnicity, there are higher instances with different ethnicities, but we don't really know if that's due to like privilege and work situation or if it's due to actual ethnicity and like genetic code. Some people in different ethnic groups don't have the option to work at home or don't have the option not to be on public transportation or be in groups. So that's something that could be contributing to this difference in privilege and possibility. And some people aren't getting the same care, so we don't really know exactly, unfortunately, what's causing that, but it is a thing. The incubation period varies widely. So the time frame from the time you're exposed to the time you're showing signs is a median of about 5 days, although it can be longer or shorter depending on the person. The amount of virus that's coming out of our body shedding is what they call that, is the highest one day before our symptoms appear. So we won't know that anything's going on, we won't have any symptoms at all, but the day before our symptoms is the time we're shedding the most virus. And so that is really why we are so adamant about the masks, especially here at the college on this floor, And it's why we're using the surgical masks for doing massage, because it has an extra layer and it has that waterproof layer. Because of this reason, this pre-symptomatic but infectious period is here, and you just don't know. You don't know that you have any signs or symptoms at that point. So it's just important to really take the precautions. So some people have reported that they have been asymptomatic. They've tested positive, but they say, I didn't have any symptoms. What they're thinking is that the symptoms were so mild or were so easily confused with other things that are in our common, that are in our common experience. Coughing, sore throat, you know, we have all of these things. They're thinking that people just attributed it to something else. And that's what our brains do. Our brains take in information and they figure it out in this flow chart and they give us an answer. Our brain likes to make everything really linear and logical, and that's great. Except when it comes to the wrong conclusion, because sometimes that conclusion is something that we don't know about yet. So even though we have these symptoms, we've had them before, it always meant this. Unfortunately, it's not meaning that now. For people who are symptomatic, their infectiousness begins to decrease 8 days after the symptoms start showing up, and this infectiousness is pretty low by 14 days. That's how they came up with the quarantine period of 14 days, was because that was about when the shedding of the virus coming out was low enough that it was reasonably considered okay to go out in public again. Symptoms are extremely varied, sometimes being really mild and sometimes going all the way up to acute respiratory distress syndrome with trouble breathing and pain in the chest and confusion. So all of the signs and symptoms you see are pretty similar to the cold or flu. Oops. Except for rash and loss of taste or smell, which we're going to go through, people are getting other things, like we talked about, pneumonia, acute respiratory distress syndrome, cardiomyopathy, the heart is larger than it should be, or arrhythmia, that it's not beating like it should, and people are getting complications from being in the hospital. So you don't need to know these names of rashes. They're in your packet just for reference if you want to look them up later. But we did want to show everybody the rashes because it is important to be able to recognize them, and we're working on skin. We're doing massage, and so the skin is what we're seeing all the time. So we need to be aware of what we might see, both in our fellow students and when we get out into the world as massage therapists. So we have different pictures here. We tried to find pictures for skin of different shades, but there are no pictures available of people of color, especially black people, unfortunately. So you won't see any pictures of that because there haven't been any. Somebody yesterday told me that there was a doctor at a university that found out about that and actually went and took some pictures. So that person's going to send me a link, and we're going to try to get them in the slideshow, but right now we could not find any, unfortunately. Yes?
What percentage of COVID positive cases had rashes?
Right. There are some slides here that have percentages, but not all of them. Like, let me see what this says. I think it's here, these percentages. So 47% had the first one, 19% the second one. Boy, I've given this presentation like 10 times and it's a lot of talking. Especially in the morning after a 20-ounce coffee. Woo! Go talk. So some people don't have the rashes. We're not going to see them in everyone, but we do see them in some people. And there is one slide where it was like one of the few symptoms in that person. So it's really important to know about them because they might not have had a symptom that they recognize, and you might see the rash and say, oh my goodness. You're going to talk more about scope of practice in your therapeutic relationships classes and other classes. So scope of practice means what we are trained to do as massage therapists versus what we're not trained to do. So we can't look at a rash and go, you might have COVID, right? Because who do we know? What do we know? What we can say is, well, I had a training on this and I know that this rash can be one of the signs. Please go to your doctor and talk about that. And I'm not going to massage you today, right? So you can make a choice for yourself and suggest that someone consult a medical professional. So we're not teaching you to identify anything. Don't diagnose anyone. So, golly, this particular rash is something that we sometimes see, though, in different places. Like on the arms, especially, sometimes you'll get these little red dots. Or sometimes on the legs, places where the body has, like, clothing that's tight-fitting, rubbing the skin where the hair follicles are. But this particular one you see is kind of in the middle of the back. This is the spine here. So it's not necessarily in an area where that would happen. And it is just these little dots. So this does often appear with other symptoms, this particular rash. Urticaria, this woman, 39 years old, the first day she had a loss of smell. Just a little loss of smell that she noticed. The next day she got this rash, and the day after that she got a low fever. And that was it. Those were her only symptoms. She went into the doctor and she was tested, and she was testing positive for COVID-19. She did have a mild case. You know, she didn't have to go to the hospital and she recovered. But this was the second out of three symptoms that she had. But it covered her whole body. This picture on the right is her leg, and the picture in the, obviously, the abdomen area. So again, a kind of a different rash than we see other places. Some of us have heard about COVID toes. It's just showing up in the fingers. It's similar to Raynaud's syndrome, where the circulation isn't getting all the way to the fingers, so they're kind of turning that purplish blue color and getting kind of cold. But this is slightly different. And they think that it's tiny blood clots creating that rash. So as the blood exchanges from arteries to veins in those capillaries, it's getting clogged up and clotting and creating that rash. That is one reason why they're starting to think of this virus as a circulatory virus rather than just a respiratory virus, because we're seeing so many effects in so many systems, in organs, in capillaries. So that is indicating more that it's in the circulatory system. And then vesicular eruptions, these tend to occur early in the disease process, and sometimes before any other symptoms, this might happen. It's kind of like, looks like a burn-ish kind of thing, or like a chemical rash or something. So the trick is, like, asking the question, did anything cause that, right? If somebody was working on their car and they used a chemical to, like, take the paint off the car and it splashed their arm, you know, sure, maybe they got a burn or something and they got this rash. But if people don't know where something has come from or when it, like, it just showed up one day, right? Then that's when we start to suspect something more direct about something going on. So any kind of unexplained rash, it's not from a bug bite or a reaction to anything. And then this libido, it kind of looks like a lace, a purple lace under the skin. Again, it's really disappointing that there aren't more people of color pictures here, because it would look very different to try to see the coloration. But it often appears this one with other symptoms or more later in the process. But this is also for people that are really slender and have very pale skin. Sometimes this is what people look like when they're cold. So again, we don't want to be going and telling someone, oh, you have COVID, because that would terrify them. And, you know, we don't really know. It's not the only time something like this shows up. But if you see something like this, you don't want to be massaging someone right then, because that is a symptom of an active case. When you take your anatomy, physiology, pathology classes, you'll be going through these questions to think about different pathologies, different diseases, and figuring out what is safe for massage. So we do walk you through a lot of different ones, and this is one of them that we're going to walk through, talking about, is it infectious? Is it in the whole body system, or is it just in one area? Is there inflammation? Is there open skin? Could massage help the condition or make it worse? Can massage be done if we observe caution? So we're going to talk about those questions. We also talked about what follow-up questions do we ask a client? What medications is the person taking, and could those medications cause any trouble for them to receive massage? And what kinds of massage should we do or not do? What kind of movement is okay? Should we do hydrotherapy, which is like the hot pack or an ice pack? Should we do that or not, right? It's okay if you don't know all those words. You're not expected to know them or do them right now, and you'll be talking about them more in your foundations classes and anatomy classes later. But we still felt like it was important for you to have this information so that you know what you're doing as you're embarking on things. So if someone is in the acute phase of COVID-19, it's absolutely contraindicated not only to massage them, but to really be in the same space as them. We want to try to have people be quarantined. And so definitely, if you know that somebody is doing that, is dealing with that, they should be in quarantine, and they shouldn't come out into the public until they've been symptom-free for 3 days. And so that's a little bit tricky, because if 14 days is up, but you still have fatigue, remember this signs and symptoms page that we saw, right? If the 14 days are up, but you still have a cough and a sore throat, if the 14 days are up, but you still have a rash, then you still have signs and symptoms, and you should stay quarantined until you're symptom-free for at least 3 consecutive days. And that's what we're using here at school, too. If you come down with a fever or something's going on, and, you know, do not come back to school the next day because the fever went down. Be 3 consecutive days with no symptoms before you come back to school. If you need to get tested, then certainly please do. But right now in Multnomah County, unfortunately, some people are waiting like 8 to 10 to 12 days to get their results back, which is almost a full quarantine. So really, for sure, just be observing at least 3 days with no symptoms if you're not getting tested, if your doctor doesn't think you need to get tested. But do consult with your healthcare provider, too. Like, I have this and I have this. Like, should I get a test? What do you think I should do? Don't just try to figure it out. And we do have makeup assignments if you miss class. We have a whole page that says what was covered that day and some questions you can be answering. We'll talk about that a little later in today's orientation. So it's not like you're just like, well, out of luck, too bad for you. We'll give you the information that you can be reviewing while you're out. So if someone has been diagnosed with COVID-19, if they've been previously positive, it's a little bit of a gray zone because they should have done the quarantine for 14 days and make sure to have 3 days of being completely symptom-free. And at that point, we believe that the infectiousness of this virus is low, minimal, none. We hesitate to put none because it's like only 5 months old now. Do we really know that it's none? Well, it's the best that people can do. The best that the scientists have been able to figure out is that after that point, it's pretty low to none. So we're going with that. However, people may have other health concerns to be considering. So long-term symptoms that people have are that rash. So the rash indicates an inflammatory process or possible blood clotting. So we want to be careful about that. Multi-organ involvement, we are finding that the virus is affecting more than just the lungs. It's affecting the kidneys, you know, the heart, the blood vessels, circulatory system. Pulmonary fibrosis is the lungs having that scar tissue or changing a little bit to kind of a cartilaginous tissue. And coagulopathy is a fancy word for blood clotting disorders. And it may indicate an inflammatory process in the blood vessels, and we don't know yet enough about it to really know. Ruth Werner is the, yes?
Are people with that type of blood disorder at higher risk?
Coagulopathy, I'm not sure if that's like a blood disorder that everybody has or people just have, but that's what they're calling the effects of COVID on the body with the blood clotting.
Right, but if you have that problem before you get COVID, are you at a higher risk?
Probably. I would assume so, yeah. If you've already been dealing with it and you're taking blood thinners, then yeah. It's not on the list, is it?
Nope.
Okay, that's a good point. So people, so Ruth Werner is the author of our pathology textbook. She's a massage therapist, but she's also studied a lot about pathologies. And she has been studying about COVID-19 and wrote an article, COVID-19 related coagulopathy, that is on the ABMP Associated Bodywork Massage Professionals. It's like a national organization that we get one of our options for liability insurance. So she was putting forward some information. Can you have COVID-19 and not get the coagulopathy concerns? Yeah, there's a lot of people that are getting it and recovering and not having any problem with any of that. Can you have COVID-19 and not be hospitalized? Yeah, people are dealing with it at home. They're getting over it and moving on with their lives. Can people have coagulopathy and not have obvious symptoms? Yeah, they can. The things can be going on in the circulatory system or in the organs and not be showing up in the body anywhere else. So we know that massage can break blood clots free with people with deep vein thrombosis or atherosclerosis or something. We don't massage over those because some of those clots that are there can break free as we're pushing on them and rubbing them. Can that happen with the coagulopathy related to COVID-19? Well, we don't really know, but we have to assume that it can because we know that it can with other types of similar things. So at what point is a person that has had COVID-19 and coagulopathy, at what point can they safely receive massage? We don't know. We don't really know. So we have to be extra cautious because we don't want to do any harm to anyone, right? So when we know that it can be invisible in the body, how do we find out what's going on with it, right? We can ask people, can you get your heart and respiratory rate up without any problem? Well, they might say no, but then we need to investigate further, right? Because I can't either. If I walk up the stairs of this building, I'll be like panting in the hallway for like 5 minutes because it's a lot. I sit at a desk, I don't exercise as much as I should, right? So make sure to ask people, could you do that before, right? Because it's not necessarily going to tell you what you want to know if they say no, not really. Have you had any new onset muscle aches and pains since this virus started? You know, if somebody suddenly has their legs start aching, then it's like, oh, you better get that checked out, make sure your circulation's okay, right? But if they say, oh, well, it was just because I moved a whole ton of bark and moved a bunch of landscape rocks in my yard, okay, well, that's probably why your legs hurt, right? So checking about why, what might be causing it, and any new marks, rashes, spots, bumps, lesions on your skin. Again, did they get stung by a bee? Were they doing work with chemicals? You know, is there an explanation for the exact thing that you're seeing, or did it just show up? Or maybe they don't even know, and then you pull the sheet back and go, oh, tell me about this rash. And they're like, rash? I have a rash? And you're like, yeah, you do. Okay, we'll do this another day, you know, get that checked out by your doctor. So really checking in with people. So these are some ideas that this author put forward for how can we start asking questions that would get at like the inside of the body that we can't see. Any new skin manifestations need to be completely resolved because remember they're on that symptoms page. Rashes are a symptom, so we cannot be working with people that have symptoms of COVID-19 or possible symptoms, right? Any signs of cardiovascular or pulmonary strain, heart or lung strain, anything going on with the system of breathing or pumping blood? If people are having trouble with that, we want to have them get checked out and wait to massage them. And anyone who has been positive and has been prescribed an anticoagulant for COVID-19 needs to be done with that regimen. They can't receive massage either. So we're considering, as we're thinking again about doing massage, we're considering the more points than we used to about massage. We're considering how we're taking care not to spread the virus. We're considering circulatory system concerns, skin concerns, lung concerns, and organ concerns. So we've talked about contraindications, a positive test within the last 14 days. If someone was hospitalized, you know, we're not going to massage them until we have a doctor's note, not just any doctor's note, not like so-and-so is fine and can do whatever they want, but a doctor's note that actually says they can do massage, because that's a different thing from just like going back to the grocery store, right? Massage actually puts stress on the body. It gets our blood flowing more. It gets our body circulating lymph more. We want to make sure that the doctor understood that that person was going to engage in this act before they wrote the note. Under current symptoms, any current symptoms, lingering cough, shortness of breath, feeling not quite back to normal. Oh, I'm great. As long as I take 2 naps a day, everything's totally fine. Did you used to take 2 naps a day? No, I never took naps before, but now I kind of have to. But then otherwise, other than that, I'm great, right? It's like, that sounds like a symptom. So, and then anything not resolved for 3 consecutive days. So, like I said, then if we've already met all of those things, it's been way more than that long ago, everything's resolved, I'm not on any blood thinners, I don't have any rashes, I'm totally fine. And I brought a doctor's note, and it says that I can do massage. Then we're still gonna observe some cautions. So circulatory massage, in foundations, once you go through the preliminary stuff, you'll be doing massage, you'll be doing compression, and then you'll be doing massage. Swedish massage is a very circulatory massage. We do long strokes from the extremities toward the heart, and it helps to circulate the blood. We call that circulatory massage because it's moving everything towards the heart and encouraging the flow of everything. And we don't want to get in and put our maximum pressure and like push all that up there if somebody's circulatory system has just been through fighting a virus, right? We want to be more gentle. Maybe we use our hands and maybe we don't go as deep with our pressure, right? Same thing with deep tissue massage. You don't want to like work on somebody's muscles with your elbow like way down to the bone or like really deeply if maybe that might put some strain on that person. You want to start again really gradually, maybe using a different tool to work with your hands or work with something more gentle so that you can gradually help ease into that. Hot hydrotherapy, again, when we put warmth on the skin, it brings circulation there, it stimulates circulation. And sometimes we leave it 8 to 10 minutes, right? But that's a lot of like circulation and respiratory rate speeds up, heart rate speeds up to move that heat through the body, right? So we don't want to be putting that kind of demand on the body if somebody is post-COVID. So we want to either take a very short time or cooler temperature, whatever we adjust, we want to start gradually with folks. Prone position with thoracic pressure. In the hospital, they're putting people face down to be on the ventilators when they're in their really acute respiratory distress situation. Being face down makes it easier for the body to breathe when it's having trouble. So it's not the prone position itself, but after someone has recovered, compressing the rib cage makes those lungs have to work harder to expand against that pressure. And so we want to be careful about pressure with somebody who's had COVID-19 and recovered so that we're not asking their lungs to do that Herculean task of, you know, overcoming our pressure in addition to the work they're already doing. So again, it's not that you can't touch the person, but starting out with really gentle pressure and then having the conversation with people to specifically name, I'm gonna need more communication from you. What we know about the virus is that these things can put strain on the body and I'll need you to tell me what is going on for you. Massage therapy is a really interesting profession because we do have a power differential, right? Just like I, in front of the room here, could say, oh, can you come up here? And you'd be like, oh, okay, right? Like maybe you don't want to, but you'll kind of do it because the person standing here asked you to, right? Same thing for massage. If we're like, okay, we're doing the massage now, the person on the table kind of goes, okay, well, I guess she knows what she's doing, right? And so there's that hesitancy to speak up and say, like, that kind of is making me feel a little pressure in my chest, or that's kind of making me feel a little dizzy. So we need to really communicate and open the door of communication more and more and more than we think we need to help people feel like they can share these things with us. Yeah.
Well, that, it sounds like that would open an opportunity to explore, you know, things that facilitate a ability for diaphragmatic breathing and open up intercostals and things like that. Will that be something post-COVID that we might explore a little
right.
bit?
Yeah, like working on those muscles that have just been coughing.
Yeah, working on that patient coughing.
Yeah, the same as like with the flu and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two slides of resources specifically for this packet. And then in your handbook, there's two full pages of really small point resources that we also used when we developed the whole procedure manual for the school. So there's lots of resources available in these two resource in these two packets for you about facts about the virus. So the reason, again, we give you this information isn't to scare you, like, oh my gosh, what did I just sign up for? But it's really to empower you and help you feel really clear. And you can use this as a reference so you can know, like, wait, what was that again? What am I supposed to do when this happens? What questions do I ask someone? When should I not see someone? And now you know. And now you can not only know for yourself, but know what to ask, know what to talk to your teachers about if you're having a question about what to do. Okay, any quick questions before I head out and let Erica take over?
Do you know anything about risk factors for blood types?
No, but that is interesting. I've heard some stories about that. So it is definitely something they're starting to work on. So Jamie Fields is our, like I said, our anatomy and physiology teacher. And if you do have specific questions more about details about this, she would be the person to talk to. You can email her. Oh, I started too far over. There. So if you have specific questions about the presentation or more technical questions or something or anything like that, you're welcome to email her about that. But the procedures that we have and that we're going to be going over with you are, you'll be going over more in foundations as you're setting up tables and doing things like that. But the masks and the distance and all of those things do address things to the best of our research. So, all right, thank you all. I will be back.